A reading from the book of Genesis. At the time when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, while as yet there was no field shrub on earth, and no grass of the field had sprouted, for the Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the soil. But a stream was welling up out of the earth and was watering all the surface of the ground. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God then took the man and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. The word of the Lord. Lord, give success to the work of our hands. Before the mountains were begotten, and the earth and the world were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep." Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all of our days. Let your work be seen by your servants, and your glory by their children.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' Or 'What are we to drink?' Or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil."
Verbum Domini.
Today in the United States, we observe Labor Day as a national holiday. and President Grover Cleveland established this holiday in 1894 as a reconciliatory gesture towards American workers following a series of strikes and boycotts that had taken place in the years prior. In the wake of the Industrial Revolution in the 18th and 19th centuries, workers around the world, including the United States, were often subjected to harsh, hazardous, and even fatal working conditions. They were often compelled by material necessity to work unreasonably long hours, up to and sometimes exceeding 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for unjustly low wages as they struggled to provide for the needs of their families. And some of these overworked laborers were simply incapable of making ends meet, as they were forced to have even their little children, as young as 5 or 6 years old, engage in hard labor for long hours while subjected to dangerous factory conditions. And the primary motivation for many corporations in the spirit of unbridled capitalism was to make as much of a profit for themselves as possible without even a thought for the safety, well-being, or the dignity of their workers. And these unbearable conditions compelled labor unions to organize strikes and boycotts nationwide to demand better working conditions and just wages. And unfortunately, the last major boycott that led to the institution of Labor Day turned into a violent clash between the military and boycott participants. On June 26, 1894, the railway boycotts that had been organized by the American Railway Union went national. And railway workers not only walked off the job, but even blocked railroads from being operated by replacement workers or scabs. And President Cleveland ordered the military to go and remove the strikers who were preventing the trains from operating. And the confrontation between the military and the strikers turned violent, and several dozen railway workers were killed. And as a result, the federal government was subjected to severe negative coverage in the media. In the years following this bloody occasion, labor reform laws were enacted by Congress designed to address the unjust conditions to which laborers were often subjected. And President Cleveland officially recognized Labor Day as a national holiday to signal his desire for reconciliation between laborers and the federal government. And this annual national holiday is an opportunity to reflect upon the origin and dignity of work. Work is a gift that has been just bestowed upon human beings as a sign of our creation in the image and likeness of God, both male and female. And the Lord God shows us our true dignity by giving us the opportunity to collaborate with him in the work of creation. The earth has been given to men and women, not so that we might abuse creation or exploit her natural resources for personal gain, but to till and to keep it. We are created to be stewards of creation, not to exploit it or to lord over it as tyrants and dictators. As human beings, we are given the unique privilege of working alongside the Creator, the Lord God, in cultivating the earth and helping it to bear more fruits. Work is only truly gratifying for human beings when we can enjoy the fruits of our labor and rest with the Lord as we engage in worship on the Sabbath day. Unfortunately, the introduction of sin into creation has perverted the harmonious relationships between God and man, between man and his neighbor, and between man and creation. And the Catechism teaches us that work is for man, not man for work. And yet sin has subverted the order created by God and has introduced many injustices into society. Instead of collaborating with others and laboring alongside others in peace and harmony, men have chosen to subject one another to harsh labor and cruel slavery. There's a strong tendency for men with self-serving ambitions, to seek to dominate creation and their fellow human beings rather than to seek brotherhood, cooperation, and solidarity. And thankfully, in the last century and a half, there has been a near universal rejection of the horrific evil of slavery, despite recent attempts by some to downplay the horrible nature of this evil. However, there are certain forms of soft slavery that still exist to this day, which include unjust wages, harsh or hazardous working conditions, unjust distribution of wealth between the rich owners and the poor laborers, unreasonably long working hours, and even human trafficking. To be sure, significant progress has been made since the onset of the Industrial Revolution with respect to protecting workers' rights and increasing labor standards, but more progress is still needed. The issue of workers' rights should be of concern, especially for Christians who care for the salvation of souls. We should be particularly close and attentive to the poorest of Christ's brethren and advocate for just wages, better working conditions, and reasonable working hours. It is particularly unjust to require a person to work multiple jobs just to make a living, since this prevents them from having sufficient time for family, prayer, worship, leisure, recreation, and the opportunity to perform works of charity. And as the Catechism teaches, everyone should be able to draw from work the means of providing for his life and that of his family, and of serving the human community. People should not be so overworked to the point that they are denied the opportunity for personal developments and to spend time with their families. And this teaching of the Church was most notably articulated by Pope Leo XIII with the release of his landmark encyclical, Rerum Novarum, in 1891. This is the encyclical that launched modern Catholic social teaching. And Pope Leo XIII surveyed the landscape in the wake of the Industrial Revolution and the advent of atheistic communism, and he could see the writing on the wall. His encyclical addresses the relationship between workers and employers, and it reiterates the rights and responsibilities of both parties. He calls upon employers to provide their laborers with a just wage so that they are not overworked and are free to participate in worship, especially on Sundays and holy days of obligation, as well as to have time for prayer, for family, for leisure, and for rest. And regarding a just wage, Pope Leo XIII says, "Let it be granted then that as a rule, workman and employer should make free agreements, and in particular should freely agree as to wages. Nevertheless, there is a dictate of nature, more imperious and more ancient than any bargain between man and man, that the remuneration must be enough to support the wage earner, in reasonable and frugal comfort. If through necessity or fear of a worse evil, the workman accepts harder conditions because an employer or contractor will give him no better, he is the victim of force and injustice." And the popes that came after Pope Leo XIII have continued to contribute to the body of the Church's social doctrine, thus further clarifying and reiterating the teaching of Leo XIII. On this Labor Day, the Church recommits herself to praying and working for greater justice between workers and their employers. The Church especially supports those who advocate for just labor reforms that seek to assist those who are overworked or who struggle with destitution. Peace is not the result of authoritarianism or military coercion, but only when society recognizes the inherent dignity of every human being and treats them accordingly. As the Second Vatican Council document, Gaudium et Spes, has stated, "Although rightful differences exist between men, the equal dignity of persons demands that a more humane and just condition of life be brought about. For excessive economic and social differences between members of the one human family or population groups cause scandal and militate against social justice, equity, the dignity of the human person, as well as social and international peace." On this day, the Church continues to prayerfully promote peace and a greater spirit of fraternity among men and women, so that all may come to know the love and mercy of Christ and the peace that comes only from the salvation he has wrought on the cross for the sake of all humanity.